If it works, it works. If it doesn't,
okay,
we'll try it again.
Oh,
all right. Yeah, this is a new innovation for us. We're trying to stream the preaching, so that's what we're doing here. All right. The lesson, not only is the title of the lesson the hardest command for us to obey, but honestly, it was a very hard lesson to put together. And the reason is because I'm guilty. And this is something that I've done. And I've read the passages of Scripture that's going to be our text many times and never really associated it with basically a command. A lot of times we do that. We go through the Bible, we read the Bible, and we just go through it, and we just read over the commands, and we don't get in touch with those things. And so we're going to look at this, and honestly, I think I call this the hardest command for us to obey. And of course, there's probably a lot of things you can come up with. Well, it's hard to do this, hard to do that, and we know that. But the problem is, and I can probably tell you right now, we're all guilty. Every one of us. There's not a one of us who is exempt from this lesson. And so that's why we need to pay attention to it. So maybe you're just a little curious what this command might be. Well, to be honest, we really have to examine ourselves thoroughly to determine if we are guilty of failing to keep this one command. You don't have to think too hard, because I guarantee you, once you find out what it is, you're going to say, yep, I'm guilty. That's me. And so why do we do this? So basically, we can learn not to do it anymore. That's the goal. So let's see what we can do here. See, when we read through the text of the Bible, it can be so easy to miss a command of God. I mean, there's over 1,050 commands of God in the New Testament alone. And most of them are directed to you and me. I mean, yes, there's some that are specifically given to some people. But for the most part, all of these commands, a good 950, if not 975, apply to you and me just like they applied to the saints back in the first century. And so we read through it, and sometimes we just don't register it as a command. I mean, we've gotten so used to the five-finger command of the plan of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And hey, that's it. I mean, those commands. But there's many more that we have basically just skipped right on over, and not intentionally either. And often we just glide right on through without even considering if this is a command or a suggestion. And, you know, a lot of people want to do this, but we can assure you that the Bible does not ever offer a suggestion. I mean, I posted this on Facebook the other day, and a lot of people kind of seem to agree. The Bible does not offer suggestions. When God gives us a choice, it is implied that you make the right choice. Yeah, he gives us a command. You have the right to choose to keep the command or not keep it. But God tells us it would be your best advantage would be to keep it. And I certainly don't want you to break in this command. I mean, so that's it. So this command is very simple. And the next verse, as we read it, explains why we need to obey this command. Now, there's only seven words in this verse, and there's two major words we're going to focus on. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. All right. I see some smiles on your faces. Yeah, we complain, don't we? And there's a reason. There's a reason we complain. And so, anyway, do all things without complaining and disputing. And here's the reason why. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So that's Philippians 2, 14 and 15. And so we are supposed to be examples to people. And complaining is one of those things that doesn't fit what a Christian should be doing. So let's talk about this. Is it normal for us to be complaining so much about everything? I mean, for a lot of people, that's all they ever do. And we know people like that. We know people, they're not happy unless they're complaining about something. I mean, it just seems to be that way. And it's basically, we've done it so much, it's just normal. It's almost as normal as breathing. I mean, we just don't even think about it. And so we've just been doing it. We complain about this or that. We're complaining, or as some people say, whine. Their whining seems to be the norm for our society. Everybody wants to whine. Everybody wants to complain. And what good does it do? I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, if you've been paying attention, it really doesn't do any good. And so you notice how many conversations or complaints about our government, about the economy, about the taxes we pay, and even our weather. There's always something to gripe about. So why don't we think about this for a few minutes and realize this. And I want you to think back in your memory banks. Have you ever heard a sermon on complaining? I mean, you don't hear very many of those. In fact, this is the first one I've ever done on complaining. And now that I've put it together, I know why. I mean, it's hard to deal with, especially when you have to look at yourself and point to yourself and know that. So the Bible shows us that this is a reproach on us amid a crooked and perverse generation. That's what verse 15 says. It is a reproach upon us. I mean, it speaks badly of us. Come on. See, some Christians complain about the sermon being too long, too dry, or too pointed. I mean, we know that's been going on for years, right? I mean, you have probably said those same things. You've probably done that. You've complained about it or something like that. And others complain that the congregation is too small, too large, too cold, or too impersonal. And yeah, we have this. Excuse me. People going around talking about, okay, there's too many people here. I can't really be involved, or there's not enough people here. It's just too small. And maybe they're just the attitude is too cold. And let's face it, we've all been in a lot of us have been in congregations where you can feel the tension in a room. You just walk into a room and feel the tension. And it's not a very pleasant thing to be around. It certainly doesn't increase our relationship with God. So when one reads the pages in the Old Testament, he will immediately notice that complaining was a grave sin that brought great judgment from God. God didn't like the complaining. Well, there's reasons for that. See, the Israelites, they're an example of those who love to complain. And 1 Corinthians 10, 6 through 11 tells us not to be like them. Don't follow their example. They did wrong and they were punished for it. We don't need to suffer the same condemnation. So learn from that. And so, though God had delivered them from Egyptian slavery and took care of them, they were still dissatisfied. We've talked about this several times. They get across the other sea, their enemy is destroyed, and 3 days later they're whining. We're thirsty. We want something to drink. We're hungry. I mean, all this complaining starts up. And they wanted the food back in Egypt. Oh, we had food back in Egypt. We grew our crops. We got a portion of it. So we had food back there. Now we're hungry. And they cared more about the good food than the freedom from slavery and the food that God provided for them. And they weren't satisfied. They were whiners. They were complainers. Moses got tired of all the complaints. They were bringing every complaint to him. This person walked across my yard. I mean, things like that. I mean, here he is, 2 million people he's responsible for, and he's hearing these petty little complaints. Anybody with any authority is going to hear complaints, right? they're going to get all the complaints, whether it's a customer yet screaming at the manager or somebody just yelling at one of the employees, you know, you need to do this or that. I mean, so they had a hard time trusting in God. The children of Israel, they had a very hard time trusting in God. And even what he gave them, they got tired of very quick. Now, that describes people today, doesn't it? See, not much has changed. I mean, many choose to be unhappy, ungrateful, and selfish. I mean, they make the choice. I'm going to be unhappy, and I'm going to make life miserable for everybody around me. Doesn't it seem like that's the mantra of a lot of people these days? They want to make everybody, well, I can't be happy, so nobody else is going to be happy. I'm going to make them miserable. I mean, so they're ungrateful, and this is all rooted in selfishness. And they don't hesitate to show their discontent about everything they don't like, for they are full of complaining. They think, well, maybe if I make enough noise, somebody will act and cower to what I want. I mean, we've seen that. We see public displays all the time. People just start raising their voice. You mean you're not going to do that for me? Or something like that. I mean, this happens. And we see it. And us bystanders, man, that person ought to control their mouth. That person ought to be quiet. That person, I mean, so we know that happens. And they forget that God hates a whining heart. God does not like complaining. God does not like those who whine. And there's punishment in reserve for them. So that's why we need to talk about this, because we're guilty. That's why we need to talk about it. We want to be right with God, and we want to go to heaven. And if, as long as we continue this practice of complaining and whining, which we all got to work on, and we're all going to have to remind each other about this, at least for a while, don't do these things. See, whining is the opposite of joy and gratitude. You know, the children of God, they should have been joyful. They should have been very happy that God was looking out for them. God did his miracles and brought them out of Egypt into the, and he had a place provided for them. If they weren't complaining so much, they would have gone straight into the promised land. But they started complaining, started whining. And God says, you know what? These people are not going to enter my rest. I'm not going to let it happen. And so God wants his children to be content. He wants us to be grateful and joyful. That's what he wants. He wants us to focus on those things that will produce this. And perhaps our society has ruined us because, let's face it, everybody complains. And for most people, selfishly speaking, it seems that our way is the only way that matters to us. As long as I get what I want, of course, that's the very definition of selfishness, and that's the very definition of sin. We do what we want to do. All right. Now, we want everything done to suit our own needs. I mean, we kind of expect this, don't we? You know, when we go in and sit down at a restaurant and the waiter comes up, takes our drink order, and then every now and then we drink our drink down and glass is empty, what do we expect? We expect if this person's going to get a tip, they better refill my drink. I mean, that's the way we feel about it. And we expect that. And we expect our food on the table in no more than 4 minutes and 37 seconds. And if it's not there, waiter, where's our food? We're going to do that. See, we're so focused on our vanity and selfish desires that we become angry when we don't get our way. I mean, think about that. Do we really get angry? Yeah, we often complain at times, sometimes with venomous demeanor. We complain and we're really ripping them off. And sometimes that includes using the foul language to really stress our point. And that's language we shouldn't even be using. And so this is one reason that phrases like politically correct and cancel culture and wokeness has come into acceptance. And nobody really understands what these words actually mean. They keep using them. It's very popular to use these words, but they really don't know what it means and what's behind it. Have you noticed that those who love to whine and argue behave like children in many ways? Yeah, they behave like children. And they easily give in to this sinful pattern. It is just so easy to do. Why? Well, everybody does it. I mean, everybody complains, and it's so easy to complain about something. Things aren't going the way I want them to go. So I'm going to complain. I'm going to whine about it. And so it all starts in the heart with our thoughts, moving quickly to negative spoken words. I mean, Jesus said, what proceeds out of the mouth is what comes out of the heart. And out of there is the evil adulteries and the evil surmisings and the bad words, which we're not supposed to have. And so it's what's leading us. It's what's in our heart that causes these things. And sadly, many don't realize when they whine, they're actually complaining against God, their creator. I mean, a lot of times we're supposed to be thanking God for all that he does for us. And then when something not happens like we want, we complain about it. And basically, we're just kind of smacking God in the face saying, hey, you're not providing for me. That's almost what it's against, what they're doing. So we got to be very careful. And we know with our language, we've got to be very careful. I mean, we read the passage from Ephesians recently about let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such as word that is fit for edification. And so, yeah, we have to be careful of our language. Our words will judge us in the end, we're told. And in John 6:43, Jesus warns us not to complain among ourselves. You know, his disciples, they were sitting there. They're complaining about this or that. He's giving these people too much food, and he shouldn't be doing that. We have to clean up all these baskets after they all eat. And they're just complaining. And Jesus said, don't complain among yourselves. You know, if we've got a complaint, where do we send that complaint? We normally don't keep it to ourselves, do we? No, we don't keep it to ourselves. When we have a complaint, we find whoever's closest to us, and we complain to them. How many people send their complaints up to God? I mean, not very many. I mean, let's face it. See, this warning doesn't stop Christians from complaining and disputing against each other. I mean, we will have that. We will have disagreements. We will have dissension. And there's different reasons. And when you get down and think about it, they're usually very petty reasons. You don't like the way they part their hair. You don't like the way they talk or the accent that they have in their mouths. And you don't like the hat they might wear. I mean, all these things. And not only do we make our own lives miserable, but we also make others miserable who do not deserve it. That's what I mean. When we start complaining to others, we start whining. And you know what? I guarantee you, there's some people you know you can't stand to be around because all they're going to be doing is whining. All they're going to be doing is complaining. And if you have the opportunity, you see him coming, you're going to duck down the alley, you're going to take off the other way. You don't want to deal with those people. I mean, they make your life miserable. You don't need that kind of negativity. So why do we complain? You know, there's probably a lot of reasons. We'll discuss a few. But I think one reason that we as Christians complain is because of frustration. Because we see this world heading headlong towards destruction, and we have the remedy available to us. We have the Word of God that we can guide people towards the truth so that they can be saved. They don't have to go and endure an eternal torment of hell. And we have that available, and they're just not listening. They don't want to listen. They don't want to do these things. Sometimes we complain about our brethren because They're just not living a Christian lifestyle. And we know what the Bible teaches us about that. If they're not living the life they're supposed to be living, they're going to end up in eternal torment. We care about them. We don't want them to lose their souls. And so when they don't respond, when they say, I don't need to study. I don't want to study. I don't want to learn anymore. I don't want to do anymore. I don't want to do anything. We get frustrated about that. So that's it. But let's look at some other reasons why we complain. See, we complain when we are short-sighted, when we're not looking at the big picture, when we're focused upon the right here and now. We're not looking down the road what might be in the future. And so we're short-sighted. We complain because we view our circumstances from a temporal perspective. Everything's going on. It's what this world does to us. And so it's that's how we're thinking. Instead of having our minds focused up there, our minds are focused right in front of our eyes. And we really can't see beyond that. And so we complain. So our minds are set on the material things of this world and not on the things that are above in heaven. You know, Colossians 3:2 tells us to put our minds there. And God wants his children to be blameless and innocent without blemish. That's what our text says. We're supposed to be blameless and innocent in this world. How is that going to happen if we have flaws? And yes, that doesn't mean we have to. Let me rephrase that. Perfection should be our goal. That's what we should be working on. The perfection that God wants us to do. And really, biblical perfection is nothing more than spiritually mature and complete. And that's what it is. People start getting this word perfect, they start thinking walking on water, healing sick, and restoring sight to to the blind. No, that's not it. But even though we do fail God from time to time, we do have the privilege of going to him in prayer and asking for forgiveness, knowing that he will forgive us. And we can start fresh. Every time we go to God in prayer, we start fresh. And so for that brief moment, we are blameless in the sight of God. And we just have to work that. You know, some people, they ask forgiveness, and 30 seconds later, they've already got a problem. We just need to expand that time further and further. So instead of 30 seconds, let's go 30 minutes before we have to ask God for forgiveness again. Or maybe 30 hours or so forth. That's where we need to develop ourselves, but that's only going to come through maturity. And so we need to do that. We need to be blameless. Now, here's something else you need to realize. Complaining disqualifies one from being a child of God. Whoa, did he just say that? I mean, why would a preacher say such a thing? I guarantee you, 99% of the preachers would never say such a thing. But if we're going to be right in the sight of God, we better hear the truth of the matter. Because we become blemished when we complain. We are no longer distinct from this crooked and twisted generation that we live in. We are supposed to be different, folks. We are supposed to be morally superior to others. We're supposed to be righteous in the sight of God, where the others, they don't care about that. And when we do the things of this world, just like the world does, I mean, we're not really setting that standard out there for people to pay attention to. And we're not setting the good example. And we're definitely, we're shining the wrong kind of light if we're doing that. See, complaining destroys the light that we're supposed to shine. It really does. Like I said, you remember the person always complaining. You don't want to be around them. You don't want to hear a message from somebody who's always complaining, so you're not going to listen to anything they have to say. You're just going to slough it off. And so what is the remedy for whining? Well, maybe you're curious about that. The remedy for whining is must learn to set our minds on things that are good and positive. You know, Colossians 3 and 2. And we must invest the best of our time in daily Bible reading, prayer, and worship. And it is a pleasant and positive start. It's a start. We got to work at it, folks. As like I say, old habits are hard to break, right? If you've been having a habit of the last 30, 40, 60 years complaining, it's going to be a hard habit to break, isn't it? It really is. It demands that we fill our minds with that which is pure and good and godly and holy. You know, like Philippians 4:8 tells us to do that, to let our mind dwell on those things rather than dwelling on the negative. Look how difficult life is and how heavy are my burdens. We're always complaining about me. I've got problems. People are picking on me. People making fun of me, stuff like that. Oh, it's so hard. And if you're trying to live a Christian life in this society we live in, you're going to get ridiculed. You're going to get persecuted. Some people don't like that. See, the way we feed our mind will depend upon our attitude in our hearts. And that's what we got to focus on. And we can choose to dwell on the bad and ugly or look for the good in everything and everyone. And we should be doing that. We should be looking for the good and the positive in life instead of just dwelling. Let your mind dwell on these things is to focus on the good things that God provides for us. Don't let your mind dwell on the bad things, because where your mind is, your heart is there also. That's what Proverbs tells us. And so we have to be reminded of that from time to time. If we start thinking about something, that's what we're going to be thinking of. And I can tell you there's some things you shouldn't be thinking about. You shouldn't think about a pink elephant, okay? I mean, think about that. You shouldn't think about a pink elephant. And, I mean, they're not naturally colored that way. But if I was to stop you right now, what are you thinking of? Where's your mind? You got that picture of that pink elephant in there. Even though I said don't do it, right? See, there's some things God tells us not to do, but yet we start thinking about it. And what's that lead to? It leads to us doing it. See, if there's always so much good to look for and be thankful for, and there's really no reason to complain if you spend your time praising God, you don't have to have that problem of complaining all the time. And we whine when our faith is weak. And that's really what it comes down to. When our faith is weak, we whine. So if we whine and complain, it should tell you, my faith is not as strong as it should be. See, in the Old Testament, the Israelites complained and grumbled about everything instead of humbly approaching God with prayer and thanksgiving. God provided everything for them. But they found things to complain about. And they did. They were hungry. We're hungry. And you know what? They wouldn't touch their own flocks for food. You realize they had, a lot of them had flocks, they had animals, they had goats, they had probably chickens and other fowls that they could eat. They had the beef. I mean, they had food. And they're sitting there whining, we have no food. I know people like that. Well, they expect, well, we have no food, so let's go to McDonald's. I mean, and they like they think that's food. But anyway, they even accused God of taking them out of Egypt to let them die. This is what they said. You brought us out here to die. We could say, what selfish people they were. And their faith indeed was small. In fact, the way they behaved, it's kind of obvious they didn't have any faith at all. And despite what they had just witnessed with their own eyes, the plagues taking place and the parting of the sea, the destruction of the Egyptian army, and their faith was so small, they couldn't even believe what God had done for them because their belly was empty. They're hungry. See, does that sound familiar? I mean, it should. It should sound familiar. Do we not often react like immature and spoiled children before our God instead of focusing on the big picture? Looking at all the options, having our eyes fixed on Jesus. You know, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Fixing our gaze on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we complain when we are mistreated and are not getting what our heart's desire wants. And we think to ourselves, are we not worthy of better? I mean, sometimes that's what, and this is our selfishness speaking up. And we think we deserve everything and demand that others drop everything to attend to our needs. Don't we? Yeah, we expect people to cater to whatever we need, when we need it. And if they do not, what are we going to do? We're going to whine, right? We're going to whine. All right, so, see, we feel better when we demand that others treat us with more respect, more honor, more support, and more consideration because we deserve it. That's how we see ourselves. That's how we see it in our mind. We expect people to treat us nicely. But who says we deserve all these things? That's only our mind telling us that. We are in no way more special than others. And sometimes we delude ourselves when we think that we are. And yes, there's scripture that talks about that. See, in Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. And so in Romans 12, 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you to not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So these passages are pretty clear. We're to humble ourselves before our brethren. And so why do we complain? Why do we continue to complain? Well, like I say, we've been doing it so long, we don't think anything about it. But really, it all comes down from selfish motives. Things aren't going the way we think they should be going. And so we complain. We look around you and notice how many people on the face of this earth are suffering and have less than we have. We still sit there and complain because we don't have as much as maybe the richest up there. But look around. I mean, if you're privileged to live in this country, You are in much better shape than 95% of the 8 billion people on this planet. And we sit there and complain. What does that say about us? I mean, so why not be grateful for all the material blessings that we have? Yeah, we may not have a 50,000 square foot mansion that we live in. Who'd want to clean that up? Well, if you can afford that, you can afford the maids. But still, why not just be grateful for what we have? You know, Paul learned that. And so, and honestly, what we have is probably far more than we deserve when you think about it. And so why not learn to be content in all circumstances and be grateful as Paul did? You know, Philippians 4, 10 through 13, he says, I've learned to get along in all means. I've learned to get along in prosperity and in poverty. In all things, I've learned the secret of contentment, being happy with what we have. And so that's what we need to do. All right, so don't be a whiner. I mean, that's easy. Be content and grateful for what you have. And we must do all things without whining or complaining. It is a command. And we must realize that. And so bear in mind that everything we do must be done heartily as unto the Lord without complaining. Colossians 3 and verse 23. All right. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as to the Lord rather than for men. I mean, so we should be doing that. And don't do it with complaining. It loses our effectiveness when we start complaining. So you might be thinking, well, maybe God owes us something. No, do you suppose God owes us anything? Well, of course not. God doesn't owe us anything. We owe God a lot of things, but he doesn't owe us anything. He's been generous enough to us to provide many things for us. So be careful when you complain, because you're telling God that he owes you something that he is refusing to provide for you. And if you'll look at that statement, you'll realize, yeah, honestly, that's what it comes down to. And whining will take away our fellowship with God. As we read there in Philippians 2, 15, it will destroy our fellowship with God. And we don't want that to happen. See, we have so much to be thankful for. And a lot of times we just take a lot of our blessings for granted. And so we shove all that stuff, we set it aside, and then we complain about what more we wanted, what more we need, what we think we need. Our Lord has blessedly rich us so much that our life should be full of joy and not whining. And so if you're a whiner, it is time to repent and be transformed. It's time to change your ways. And all of us, I mean, I'm included in this here. I've got to work on this myself, because I complain a lot. I complain about things that I get frustrated over. But let God's loving kindness and steadfast love penetrate the thoughts and intentions of your heart and your mind. And then, so before you start, you know, I don't like the way some... You stop there. You know, if I completed that, God would not be happy with me. So folks, we got to work on that. Yes, we do complain. We complain to each other about each other. We complain to each other about what's going on in this world. So learn to be content and grateful, acknowledging all that God has done for you. And if you start focusing on that, there won't be any room left for complaining. You can see why this was very difficult to put together. Because my toes are hurting right now. I've stepped on my own toes. And I'm sure you probably feel he stepped on my toes too. And some, just saying some of the things we said probably caught your mind. I never heard a preacher say that before. But folks, it needed to be said. And so we're going to speak the truth of God. And no matter how much it hurts, we must do this. Think about these things and consider these thoughts. And Lord willing, we can change our ways, and we will be the type of people that others will look at us and want to know our secret. I mean, they're happy. I mean, in our society, the only people that are happy are the ones high on mushrooms. It seems that way. But no, here we are. We're not taking mushrooms, but we're still happy. I mean, whoa, what's up with these people? What's their secret? And Peter says, they're going to ask you your secret. 1 Peter 3:15. Why? Because you have the Lord sanctified in your heart. Always being ready to give an answer of the hope that's in you. That's why we do it. That's why we think about these things. So we always offer the invitation at the end of our lessons. And for most part, we've all obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have to go through that again. But you know what? We falter. We make mistakes. And yes, we complain. And we do things that we shouldn't be doing. And so we need to pray about that. And I encourage you to go home and get in a quiet place and pray to God about that. And if for some reason you've done something that you think brings shame and reproach upon Christ and his church, then publicly acknowledge that and we'll pray for you. So if there's any way we can assist you, invite you to come while we stand and sing.